10.5. Down to Earth with a Bump. Part 3.
Then the next day you decided to get moving, didn't you?
Yeah, I decided that you can't last that long without water. I had a few litres of water and it looked like there was a nice river at the bottom of the valley. So I thought at least if I could get next to the water, I'd be fine. And
how did you move, though? You broke your pelvis.
Well, I pushed with my good arm and pulled with my legs, and I managed to make my way through the grass, and it was quite painful. But
quite painful. I was setting my teeth on edge just thinking about that.
But I got all the way down to the bottom of the valley, and it was completely dry, so I knew I had to start walking somehow. So I reached out a hand and there was this amazing stick. So it took me a couple of hours, very painful hours, to get to my feet.
2 hours to get to your feet?
Yeah. But with the stick, I was able to make very slow progress. I move the stick, swing one leg, swing the other one, and on I go. And so I made about a mile that day. And in the evening, the weather started to break down, and it's a very desert area. I mean, it hardly ever rains there. But that evening, there was a huge, huge thunderstorm. So I just lay on the ground and got completely drenched with this thunder and lightning going on all night. And
what was the first clue that you might be going to be rescued?
The first clue was the next day. I heard a helicopter coming into my valley at about 3 PM, and it came into my valley and then flew straight out the other side. So I just thought, well, they've missed me, and that's the end of that. But in fact, there was a friend of mine, Russell Ogden, a very old paragliding. He's a bit of a legend in the paragliding world, and he had seen me out of the corner of his eye. He's got terrible eyesight, but he's still seen me. And he yelled at the helicopter pilot to go around. They went round and landed, and I didn't hear that because there was a bend in the valley, and they'd landed, seen my canopy, and landed by it. Russ jumped out of the helicopter, nearly broke an ankle, and then raced down. They saw my track and raced down the valley, trying to find me.
And what did you find out later about the nature of the search operation that had been launched? Because it was quite an extensive operation.
Huge operation going on. I had no idea, but there were probably 100 people up in the mountains, all out on mountain bikes, and there were light planes up. There were just people on their days off who'd heard about it and were out looking. And it was when eventually I got found. The helicopter eventually came down the valley and did find me. And when it went out on the radio, there were hoops of joy amongst the people looking. So it was a great
goodness.
Big
and what about your family? You said you'd hoped that they might not find out. Presumably, they'd have been told,
they
and they'd be very worried.
A horrible 24 hours at home, all waiting. But they were very stoic and quite brilliant. And we're a very close family, and it was very difficult for them, I know.
And I gather that after the rescue, you updated your Facebook profile with the words, "Guy Anderson is world champion hide-and-seek winner."
Yes.
Which shows a certain sense of humour.
A few people thought I actually was.
How long did it take you to recover from your injuries?
Where I'd crashed, I'd actually just got enough points to get me into the big race of the year, which is the World Cup Super Final. So I had between August when I crashed and January when the Super Final was to get better enough to compete in the big race of the year. So just under 6 months.
And you had no doubt at all about going back?
I had plenty of doubts, and it's really the worst thing is for my family. I know that I put them through hell, but it's a horrible addiction that I have to flying. But it does put you in places that you can only dream of, and I can't stop it.
Guy, it's an amazing story. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.